If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, and we'll begin reading in just a moment in verse 19. I'll read aloud. You follow me in your copy of the Word of God. Brother Jim, thanks again for letting me come here. Always appreciate that opportunity and appreciate those who came out and supported the meeting at Searsville. My brother John is a member of that church, an elder there, and the Lord is blessing that church also. I'm glad that he's in the blessing business, and there's enough blessings to go around. They don't have to feel like you have a corner on it. And notice, if you would, now I'll begin reading in verse 19. You follow me in the copy you have of God's Word. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but to Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Now that's a great thought, isn't it? The hand of the Lord was with them. There's no substitute for that. Then tidings of these things came to the into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad. You know, it's good to see people who can rejoice in the blessings of other people. Some people can't do that. But Barnabas came on the scene and saw what was going on actively. The Lord was pouring out his spirit. People were being saved. Great things were happening, and he rejoiced in that. And then it says, who when he came had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. May we bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for what we've been able to enjoy thus far in this service. We're thankful for those songs that lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, where we can praise Him and honor Him with our voices. We pray, Lord, now Your blessings upon the ministry of the Word. Help me to say those things that ought to be said in the way they should be said. And may Thy Spirit be able to bless and to bring conviction and conversion. And we'll thank and praise You in Jesus' name, and for His sake we ask it. Amen. Now we find in this portion of Scripture some brief characterizations of this man, Barnabas. He was a great man. I call him the kind of man every church needs. If we had a few Barnabases around, our churches would be healthier and holier and happier to have a guy like that around that used his influence for the glory and honor of God. I think it's good for us to realize that there's some people we don't need to have. We don't need to have people like Ananias and Sapphira who lie to God, the Holy Spirit. We don't need people like Diotrephes who loves the preeminence. But if you'll look around in most churches, you can find one or two like Diotrephes. They love the attention. They love the preeminence. And God doesn't appreciate that kind of an individual in His house. And then I think also we don't need people like those who criticize and condemn and complain, or people like Demas who forsook the party that were missionaries and went back home to get some more of his mother's biscuits. Somehow he just didn't fit in. He had to go back. And it's always a tragedy when a person who's in the Lord's work and going forward turns around and lets the devil gain the victory. It's not a good thing at all. Well, I want us to point out some things this morning about this man, Barnabas, and they're things that we should strive to see in our own lives. And so follow with me, if you would, and see, first of all, he was an encouraging man. Now, we need people like that. You know, there are some people that are perennial members of the Cold Water Brigade. And if there's a little fire comes up, a little enthusiasm is seen, they hasten to put it out. They don't want anybody to get overexcited. And by the way, I've never seen anybody in a Baptist church get overexcited. So I'm not worried about the danger of that. But this man was an encouraging man. Notice what it says there in verse 23, who when he had come and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted. Now the word exhorted there means to encourage, to challenge, to console. And so he says, this man exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. So he was a man who said, get in line, stay in line, go forward, keep the Lord foremost in your mind and in your heart. He was an encouraging man. I think of another statement about him found in a previous chapter of the book of Acts, chapter 4, and verse 36 and 37. Let me read those for you. And Joseph, who was by the apostles surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation or the son of encouragement. Now, he had the name Joseph, but he had a nickname because of how he lived and how he influenced people. And they saw that and said, this man is an encourager. This man is a helper. This man is the kind of a person we enjoy having around. So he was a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So here was a man who was an encourager with his life, an encourager with his money, an encourager with his influence. He was used of God to help the work there. And that's always a good thing. He could speak a word in due season, as the book of Proverbs talks about. Some people don't have that gift. They have the facility of saying the wrong thing and just always kind of disrupting the fellowship. But he was not in that number. He challenged people to be like Daniel and to purpose in their heart to do that which was right. There are many men in the Bible in the book of Colossians chapter 4. I'll not take time to read it this morning, but you might want to go home and look at it. There's Tychicus and Onesimus and Aristarchus and Marcus and others who were listed, Epaphras, and they were called people who encouraged or comforted Paul. You know, preachers needed comforting too. We look to them to comfort us, but we're just sinners saved by grace like anybody else, and we need a pat on the back now and then, or a blessing to be bestowed upon us, and someone to come and say, I'd like to have prayer. Last week, several of the men of the church called me and Betty aside and said, I want to have prayer with you. And they just bowed their heads and prayed and asked the Lord's blessing. That never hurts anybody, does it? To have someone to love you and to think about you and to see your needs and to pray for God's blessings and God's help to be your experience as you move forward in the Lord's work. On the day of Pentecost, they prayed and the place was shaken. And it was a manifestation of good things, and it needs to be so today. We need to have folks filled with the Spirit of God. So here we have a man who was an encouraging man. Secondly, he was a good man. I had one of my members a few years ago who said, nobody is a good man. We don't call anybody a good man. Now, I had thought up until that time that he had read his Bible occasionally, but evidently he missed some things that are found there. This man is called a good man there. Did you see that in verse 24? He was a good man. Now, we need to understand there are two categories of goodness. There is absolute goodness, and there is relative goodness. Now, only God is absolutely good. The Bible says there is none good, that is, in the absolute sense, but God. He's the only one that does good and is good and does things for us that enables us to be good people for His name's honor and glory. So He's the only one who has absolute goodness. But there are people who have relative goodness. We look around us and see people who are honest, who pay their debts, who are dependable, who are consistent in their Christian walk and attendance to the house of God. And we look at people like that and say, that's a good man. That's not a misuse of the term. We're using it not in comparison to the goodness of God, but the goodness that He gives to us through His Spirit and by His grace. And we can be called, as this man was, a good man. Now, it was said of the Lord Jesus, who is our example, he was anointed of the Holy Spirit and went about doing good. And so if we follow His steps and follow His example, then we will walk in paths of righteousness and we will do good deeds and we can be categorized as good people in the relative sense. Now, this man was also a Spirit-filled man. Notice, if you would, in verse 24 and the second division there, he was full of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that is a command of God. The Lord expects us to be Spirit-filled Christians. I think sometimes we have the idea that only full-time ministers or missionaries or somebody like that are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That isn't so. Every born-again child of God is saved by His grace. They're indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and they need to be filled, that is, controlled entirely by the Holy Spirit. And that is an obtainable experience, and God wants us to have that for our very own. And so we ought to say, Lord, help me to be a Spirit-filled man. Now, if we're Spirit-filled, we'll manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I don't know about you, but I hitch on that now and then, that long-suffering. You pray for me, but you probably need to pray for yourself while you're doing it. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You see, if I'm filled with the Spirit, I'll manifest the fruit of the Spirit, that ninefold fruit that is spoken of in this passage of Scripture. I went to pastor a church in the Atlanta area several years ago. It was a marvelous ministry we had there. Tons of people saved. It was a great experience. But soon after I got there, I had a fellow who said, I feel full of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to run around this church. And I said, when you get to about the third pew, I'm going to tackle you. He didn't take it. He didn't move a bit. You know, running around the church and jumping pews, I don't find in the Bible as evidence of the Holy Spirit's fullness. Did I hit a nerve there? It's getting awful quiet in here. I hope not. I'm telling you, dear friends, the fullness of the Holy Spirit is manifest by love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And then it is also manifest by His power, by His fruit, and by His power. If I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I'll be filled with power. I will be able to help people be saved. I will be able to help people grow in grace and become good, strong, healthy Christians. God wants that to be true. In Acts chapter 2, people were filled with the Holy Spirit and spake the word of God with boldness and spake in other tongues, other languages that they had not previously learned. God gave them the gift. There were people there from several dialects, And those who were hearing Peter preach heard them in their own language, and not a language that he had studied or had even spoken, but the Holy Spirit interpreted his words in their language, an unknown tongue to him, but known to them. The Holy Spirit knows all languages, right? And so he can speak in any of them to any people and enrich their lives and bring them to a full experience of the grace of God in Christ. That was repeated in chapter 4 of the book of Acts when it says they prayed and the place was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spake the word with boldness, and great power and great grace was upon them. Now that's what we'd like to see, isn't it? We'd like to see that kind of a manifestation of the fullness and blessings of God in our church services. Now another thing we find about this man is he was a man of faith. Notice in verse 24, division C, it says, and of faith. He had the kind of faith that worked by love, the same kind of faith that Moses had. Let me read what the Bible says about him in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 27. He says this, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. All the great exploits and all of the great writings that Moses has left with us, he did by faith. He was energized and empowered by faith in God. And that's what helps us do those things that honor and please the Lord. So this man was a man of faith. And then he was a faithful man. In the D section of verse 24 it says, and much people were added unto the Lord. You see, when we are with God in fullness and we're walking with him by faith, then we're going to have fruit. We'll see some people saved along the way. I think of John the Baptist. It is said of him, and many resorted unto him, that is to Jesus, and said, John did no miracle. Now he was ministering in the place where Jesus was at this time. He said, John did no miracle, but all things John spake of this man, that is of Jesus, were true. And many believed on Jesus there. Don't you believe that John was a man that walked with God and lived in the presence of God? And as a result of that, people trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now let me say one other thing, and that is this man Barnabas was a helpful man. Don't you want to be that kind of a Christian? Yes. That helps people. In Acts chapter 11 verses 25 and 26 it says this, then departed Barnabas. Now he was in a on fire situation. He came and it was that way. It continued while he was there, and then he said, Saul needs to hear about this. Saul needs to be on this. And so he left that fiery place and that place of revival and search of Saul of Tarsus, soon to become Paul the Apostle. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves together with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Now, don't you know that was a great, great period of time in the life of that church? Barnabas, the son of encouragement, and Paul, the chief apostle and the saved supreme sinner, to become the saved supreme servant of God. They were both there helping that church go forward. Wouldn't you like to have a dual pastorate like that? You had a pretty good one when you were here with my brother and y'all were serving the Lord together and you preaching, alternating, and seeing the Lord's blessings. But how would it have been to be see Barnabas over here and Paul over here preaching and teaching the Word of God? Be a wonderful, wonderful experience. Now, this man was a helping man. He helped Saul. He helped the Antioch church. Now, we can also be helpers. We can help people be saved. We can help people face life's struggles. We can help people live true to God. We can help people prepare for the life to come. Blessed is the church that has some helpful people that just pitch in. I noticed last week, and you may have noticed it too, there were workers all over the place doing all sorts of things there at Searsville Baptist Church. They cooked morning breakfast and evening before the services, and they had great meals both times, and hard workers, the men and the women, and they were greeting people, making people feel happy as they were there in the house of God. That's a great kind of person to have around. In Murfreesboro, Tennessee, where I pastored at one time, we had a man who worked for Carnation. He was our neighbor. He would come down and help us and do the lawn sometime. Just volunteer to do it, and other things he would help us with. And then he joined our church and became a leader, became a deacon, became a Sunday school teacher, became a soul winner, became a giver. He was charitable. He served as the custodian and as a staff member on the ministerial staff. He just got busy. When he got in, he got all the way in. Don't you like to see people do that? Not just sit on the periphery and look to see what's going on, but to get in and to get all the way in and then help to get others in. And that's what he did, and what a marvelous man it was. It was a privilege to go after he went home to be with the Lord and have a part in his funeral. It wasn't hard to say something good about a man like that. Sometimes you have to scratch your head to think of something worth saying about a guy. But thank God for those who live as he lived and as Barnabas lived. And you can say that's the kind of man that our church needs and wants. And that's the kind of church member that all of us ought to just make a resolve here in this room today. Lord, help me to be that kind of a man. May we bow.